It's the right time of year for a good show to be seen outside around sunset. Well, besides the sunset itself. The waning of the day is the waxing of activity for the bird known as the Vaux's swift. Swifts in huge bunches like the nest in chimneys, so if there's a chimney near you, they put on a big show of coming in to roost for the night. Such a show happens in Roseburg and several other places as well. We have a couple of guests with us to talk about this. Diana Wales is the president of the Umpqua Audubon Society based in Roseburg. Hi, Diana.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here. Larry Schwitters joins us from the state of Washington. He collects data for VauxHappening.org. Hi, Larry.
Hello, hello.
Good to have you here. And Karen Hussey's in the studio with me. She's a wildlife biologist with the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Hello, Karen.
Hello, good morning.
So let's start with you. What are these birds?
Well, these birds
nice general question,
right? are called Vaux's swifts, and they are one of the more unique birds that you might... Well, there's a lot of unique birds down here. I guess I shouldn't pick favorites, but...
Are they like swallows? Are they like hummingbirds? Or?
They are actually most closely related to hummingbirds. But to the untrained eye, they might look like swallows. They spend a lot of time in the air, almost all of their time in the air, in fact. But if you look up in the sky and you see something that looks like a cigar with bat wings, that might be a swift.
So, all right. So is there a distinctive profile of them? Is there something that when you see one, you... Oh, cigar with bat wings is a pretty good description.
Yeah. That would be my profile, I would describe it as. Yeah, they spend a lot of time sometimes high in the sky. They feed on insects almost constantly. They eat about 20,000 insects a day.
Each
bird, yes.
So small insects, some of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but a lot.
But that explains why they're in the air the whole time. They're out there capturing their dinner all the time.
Yes, they're also in the air quite a bit because unlike most birds, they can't perch. They have their four toes are on the front of their foot, and they don't have one on the side or the back. So you won't see them like swallows perching on electrical lines. You won't see them perching on twigs. Whenever they need to rest, which is rare, they'll cling onto tree bark or maybe the inside of a hollow tree or the inside of a chimney.
So with no backwards claw, they have in essence no thumb to...
Yes, basically no thumb. They're thumbless.
Wow. Larry Schwitters, give us an idea of what's going on with swifts this time of year. Where are the Vaux's swifts going from and coming to?
We know they go as far up as almost Yukon, and they're headed down to spend the winter in southern Mexico, Nicaragua, Costa Rica. They travel on the average about 50 miles a day. They spend their nights in groups, and they like to spend their nights in chimneys because it's warmer for them.
All right, so it is about a clustering thing? They gather together for body heat?
Yes. Plus, if you've got a masonry structure like a brick or a concrete chimney, it soaks up the heat of the day, and then when the sun goes down and the temperature drops, the swifts will cling to the inside of a masonry chimney and absorb the heat. It's as much as 25 degrees warmer inside without any swifts in it.
Diana Wales with the Umpqua Audubon Society, would you describe what it looks like when the Vaux's swifts come in for the night?
Well, it varies every night, and that's the fun of it, but if you're there, say, an hour before sunset, you may see nothing. I mean, the nice thing about this form of bird watching is that it's pretty predictable, much more so than other kinds. So beginning maybe a half hour, 45 minutes before sunset, this sort of cloud of little black birds gradually develops. And some nights they form sort of a tornado pattern over the chimney. Some nights it's quite scattered. But gradually more and more develop, and then right around sunset, depends a little on weather and temperature and those kinds of things, they start dropping into the chimney feet first, and it sort of looks like somebody's turned on a vacuum cleaner and is just sucking the birds in. And it's truly an amazing sight. We've had lots of people come who sort of heard about it and kind of, oh, you're going to go watch birds drop into a chimney. That sounds pretty strange. And then they're absolutely mesmerized, and we have people who come back night after night.
I was going to ask you about the bird tornado. That is exactly the term I was looking for, because it does look like that in the video. And I should point out, too, I wanted to bring in some clips from YouTube or wherever, indicating what the birds sound like. But it's really hard to hear the birds over the sound of the people going, wow, look at that. So it is that impressive.
Exactly. And that's the other thing that's wonderful, is they don't seem to be disturbed at all by people yelling and screaming and cheering and clapping as they go into the chimney. So that's another thing that makes it a very approachable kind of bird watching.
We're talking about Vaux's swifts, the birds that Karen Hussey already told us is a bit more like hummingbirds, perhaps, than other birds. The cigar with bat wings is the description of their profile. We have Karen Hussey in the studio with us. She's a wildlife biologist with the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Larry Schwitters collects data for VauxHappening.org, and Diana Wales is the president of the Umpqua Audubon Society. You may have questions or comments or some stories of your own to share about spotting the Vaux's swifts entering a chimney as the day ends. 800-838-3760 to talk to us here. 800-838-3760. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Karen Hussey, are there other places where they'll go? I mean, you mentioned bark, but chimneys seem to be really the place where swifts like to hang out.
Yeah, well, naturally, they will spend their time in old-growth forests and will roost and nest in old-growth snags, so dead trees. And obviously we don't have as many of those as we used to, and so they've also started to use chimneys. And the thing about chimneys is they require a specific kind of chimney that are often old. And back in the 40s, they started putting cement liners in chimneys. And those are a nice, smooth surface that we like to use, but it's hard for the birds to get purchase in there. And so we're actually not only seeing a decline in their natural nesting and roosting habitats, but also the artificial ones as well, as those older chimneys start to come down.
So, Larry Schwitters, what kinds of numbers are we looking at for Vaux swifts generally? Do we have good population figures on them? I mean, I can imagine it'd be a little tricky to track them.
Yeah, it's a hard one to track. The Breeding Bird Survey is used by Partners in Flight, and they've got an estimate of 340,000 worldwide for the migratory species. Vaux's Happening figures it closer to 200, maybe 250,000. Which,
right.
Now, there's a chimney swift on the eastern side of the country, and there's 8 million of those.
Wow.
And those are considered to be officially in danger. Vaux's swift is knocking right on the door of it.
And so has somebody applied for a listing status for the Vaux's swift?
Well, the listing status, the way it is in North America, they got that done last year, and they assigned a number to every bird in North America as to what its conservation concern is. And the numbers range from 1 to 20. And if you make it, the higher the number, the more in danger you are. And if you've got a number of 13 or higher, you might get a official designation. And Vaux's swift has got a 13, but it's not officially designated yet. Once it gets a designation, they're supposed to do something about it. And so we're knocking on the door with them.
Diana Wales, go ahead.
We get as many as 20,000 in one night,
mm-hmm,
in one chimney, which is unusual. If you get 1,000 to show up, the sky will just be covered with birds, and people will be in awe. Roseburg has been going like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 a night. It's one of the roost sites we've got in North America whose numbers have been going up since we've been monitoring them, and we started 10 years ago.
And that was the question I was going to ask Diana Wales about the Umpqua Audubon Society. So the numbers are actually trending upward at your sightings there in Stewart Park?
Well, it varies a lot from night to night. I was looking back at our data. We've been collecting data, or sort of recording it systematically, since 2008. We did have a count over 6,000 here this year, a week or 10 days ago. And we've had one other year where it's been more than 6,000, you know, for one night. But overall, it looks to me like the numbers are up a little bit, but that may be because we're doing a better job of getting out there and counting consistently night after night, and that we've gotten more experienced at doing the counts, because it's pretty tricky to count the little birds going down a chimney. So that takes a little bit of expertise.
Yeah, you can't exactly go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, because they come in pretty fast, as you pointed out. This,
yes.
this the vacuum cleaner effect as the chimney takes them all in. Karen Hussey, are the Vox's swifts a little bit mysterious? Are they sort of like marbled merlets and other denizens of old growth that it's just a little tricky to find them in places where they live to know enough about their behavior?
Yeah, well, in our listening area here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, there's a lot of mysteries about the swifts, and I'm still waiting for someone to fund my PhD on this. But there, as Larry was talking about, there's some really big roosts that you see in Washington, up in Portland, the Chapman Elementary School, where you get tens of thousands of birds sometimes. In a night, and you get down into Roseburg, and that's a pretty big roost. I was there, what was that, last weekend maybe, and there were 5,000. And down here in the Rogue Valley, we have a couple of roosts that are numbering, I guess, so we've got Hedrick Middle School, which is on Jackson, I believe.
Jackson Street in Medford.
In Medford, yes. And I've got volunteers out there. Just last night, they counted 1,300 birds going in the chimney. And Eden Valley Orchard, which is a private property after hours, they've got hundreds of birds going in the chimney. But those numbers, even though it's spectacular to look at, they're a lot smaller. So where are all those birds, the tens of thousands of birds up north, going to? And they kind of disappear down here, and we don't know if they're going to the coast and through the redwoods or separating out into different roosts at night. There's a lot of mysteries, and it's pretty fascinating.
We're talking about the bird known as the Vox's swift and the fact that it's on the move this time of year and coming to roost in tall chimneys, older chimneys, as we've been pointed out by Karen Hussey, wildlife biologist at the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Larry Schwitters collects data for voxhappening.org, and Diana Wales, the president of the Umpqua Audubon Society. So, Diana, what is the chimney that you look at in Roseburg? This is right in Stewart Park, is that right?
Yeah, it's in the Fir Grove section of Stewart Park. It is behind the Umpqua Valley Art Center, attached to the Clay Place, which is their pottery facility. It was the heating plant for the old VA hospital complex, so it was the chimney for that.
Mm-hmm.
The property was acquired by the city, turned into a park, and the city has been amazingly wonderful. They and the Umpqua Valley Arts Association cooperatively revented the pottery kilns. So now the chimney is maintained solely for the purpose of hosting swift migrations. But it's a very tall, concrete chimney.
And people come out there on Friday nights to observe the return?
Yeah, actually it's getting to be such an event. There's people there every night, mm-hmm. but on Friday nights, we partner with the Arts Association to host Swift Watch, and so we have artists with Audubon members are there counting birds and handing out information. Artists from the Umpqua Valley Arts Association do art with kids, and this last year we have added music. One of our regular counters is a musician. She started bringing her guitar, then started bringing her friends, and so we now call them the Swift Sisters. And they're there with guitar, fiddle. It's an informal group, sometimes harmonica. So it's a very fun event every Friday night in September, beginning about an hour before sunset.
So, Larry Schwitters, is this a twice-a-year show because the migration goes in both directions?
That's correct. It is normally mid-April to the end of May when they go north, and when they go south, mid-August to the end of October.
Okay, so twice a year you get a chance to catch this. And
yeah, there's more birds when they go south because the reason they went north was to have babies. So two swifts that came up north end up coming back south with their six young.
Huh. Okay, so they tend to have litters of four?
Up to seven.
Up to seven, okay. Karen Hussey, the whole idea with the chimneys, though, since a lot of places don't use the older chimneys, and then they're the more modern lined ones that aren't worthwhile for the Swifts, are people building structures that are like chimneys that help them out?
Yeah, there are some attempts to build some structures that are like chimneys, kind of artificial roosting sites. There's one that's gone up in Albany, and actually Larry was quite involved with that, so he actually might have some good insight on how those are working out. I think we're still trying to figure out how to attract the birds to them.
What did you build it out of, Larry?
Concrete pipe.
Mm-hmm.
4-foot diameter sections, a little bigger than that, and PRN on it. That story, we put it up a year ago in cooperation with the city of Albany, and we haven't had any birds come yet. We dumped some swift poop in it that came from Rosebud.
Just to make it seem like home.
Yeah, so it smelled right. We've been playing a recording of the birds' call as they circle the chimney, and we've been blowing out speakers. Doing that. I got an email last night saying they still haven't used it, though.
Huh. So, Karen Hussey, how critical are Vox's swifts? I mean, if they decline in number, what eats them, what do they eat, and what's the effect on ecosystems if as they decline?
Yeah, well, I already mentioned that they're pretty voracious insect eaters, so that's one thing. They do eat quite a bit of insects, and the critters that eat them are often hawks and birds that will take down birds on the wing. So we're talking about accipiters. I've seen mostly Cooper's hawks, but peregrine falcons. Occasionally, there's been some crows that are sitting on top of the chimneys as the birds come out, and they're a little less gracious than the hawks are, but can take a bird out just the same. So if we're losing, this population of birds that are, really good about working on the wing and taking out insects, you're just going to start to see effects kind of throughout the whole system, both upwards and downwards.
All right. Vox's swifts at a chimney near you. If it is on private property, make sure you check with the landowner to make sure it's okay with them that you're there. Karen Hussey, wildlife biologist at the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Larry Schwitters collects data for voxhappening.org and, as you heard, also helps build new chimneys for Vox swifts. Diana Wales is the president of the Umpqua Audubon Society with the Friday night gatherings, and actually most night gatherings lately at Stewart Park in Roseburg. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.